Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I want to call your attention to verse 10. We're going to look at verse 10 through 12, probably halfway or so, to illustrate something here. But if you haven't found Daniel, it's right after Ezekiel, which is right after Jeremiah, which is right after Isaiah, and just in case. But I want to look at these verses of Scripture together. As always, I like to read from the New American Standard Bible. So if you have a different version, don't panic. It's okay. We all have life in Christ, hopefully. Amen? All right, good. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. So Daniel went in, and looking out the window, as he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? And let me finish just verse 12. The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. So there was an injunction. There was something temporary, a restriction. It was temporary for 30 days, but it was the law of the land for 30 days that no one would pray to any other god except who? The king of Persia. This is pretty bad because we know what happens next, right? But then it's pretty good because we know what happens next after next. Daniel gets put in the lion's den, right? And God protects him there. But it's amazing how Daniel is mentioned here in prayer three times a day. And it says that how he had previously done. So this is something that he had been doing constantly, right? This is not something that Daniel got scared. He was so scared he fell on his knees three times that day because he was scared that he would be caught or that he wouldn't be able to worship his God. No, this is something that he did every time, all the time, and he just kept doing it. And today we're going to talk about our fifth pathways that we had mentioned from the eight that we're looking at. We are number five now, and discover the rhythm of the daily office and Sabbath. And this is something that if you are in your readings and everything, you're going to find out that this is pretty crucial and important. This is something that's hit my heart pretty heavy. I hope it hits yours too. So we're going to look into discovering the rhythms. Now I want you to pay attention or put your focus on the next one, Bob. There you go. Discover the rhythms of the daily office. Rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. Anybody here thinks they got rhythm? Yeah. Some of you are like, I ain't got no rhythm. Well, you should. You should have rhythm in Christ. Amen. We're going to talk about that. So if you're one of those people who say, I ain't got no rhythm, you can acquire some rhythm this way. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. So that's the key word. I want you to remember that. We're talking about rhythm between your daily office and your Sabbath. And you may be thinking, my what? Are we going Jewish or are we going there? Adventist, or what are we going to do now, Pastor? Well, I want you to look at this because we live in a 24/7 world, right? Actually, I remember before Katrina, most of the places around here were 24/7 open, right? Now, after Katrina, kind of not all of them. But if you want to find something open, you will, right? You don't have to travel too far. Maybe you got to drive 3, 4, 5 miles, but you will find something open 24/7. You don't even have to go too far. Just go to the Brothers in the corner, in the Conda, and get you some chicken, right? 24/7. 24/7, you can get some chicken at the Brothers Mart at the Conda. We're in New Orleans, right? All right, just making sure. So everybody understood what I just said. Hallelujah. But we seem to be all busy all the time, and there are no stops. It's 24/7. Everything we do in a hurry, we're always busy. And how do we change that? How do I get off from this merry-go-round that it's unstopping? You know, it's not stopping. So you probably heard some of those expressions around there from other people, not from you. You know, like, my life is a chaos, man. Man, I don't know what to do. I can't stop. Or, oh, my God, I got so much to do. Oh, my God, I'm so busy. No, not in here, because we all take it so easy around here, right? So, like, I'm out of control. My life's out of control. Ain't nobody, I told you already last week, and that nobody plans to have chaos in their life. It just happens, right? Chaos just happens, and we find ourselves entangled in so many things at the same time, and it just becomes a problem. So, you see, the world, the culture of this world, and the enemy is trying to get you distracted with so many things and place so many things right in front of you so that you live separate from the body of Christ, separate from Jesus himself and his spirit, and you can get isolated and kind of your little light of yours start dwindling down. This little light of mine doesn't shine like it's supposed to. And all of a sudden I find myself that I'm living in a hurry. And I just can't stop. Every time I try to take a break, there's something else I need to do. So how do we balance that? What are we going to do? How do I have a life that I'm enjoying and simply saying, I can take a break whenever I need to? I do have a break because I take breaks regularly or not. And having a restful life too. This is amazing because this is connected to God. The idea of rest is connected to God. But we're not connecting with God through that idea of rest. We're always seem to think that God wants to see us busy. Do you find yourself in that predicament? Like I find myself thinking, if I'm not busy, then God is not, then I'm not doing anything. I got to be doing something. You know, God is going to be looking at me like, what you doing, lazy? You know, I got to be busy, got to be doing something. If I'm not doing something, then something wrong with me. You see, and it seems like we have become what the world is. The world, and especially in our American culture, is a performance-based culture. It's about what you do, what you achieve. And you know, like people, if I was to ask you and tell you, okay, write 5 things about yourself, 5 things about yourself on a sheet of paper. If I asked you to do that, think about it right now. If you could think of 5 things about yourself, or just 3, simple, what would it be? What can you tell me? What would be on your list? I'm busy. Well, tell me something that might be on your list. You don't have a list? I'm a Christian. Great. Okay. What else? What else can you tell me about yourself? Huh? Okay, I'm sorry? Christian, mother, librarian. What else? Anybody can tell me 3 things about yourself? Quickly. Unless you want me to be here for like 2 more hours. Okay. Huh? Okay, godly worshiper, wife, and working lady. Did you hear that? That's twice. Who else? Nobody? Okay, you can't describe yourself? Okay, I'll describe yourself. For example, most likely, most people will answer, well, my name is David, and yeah, I'm a Christian. and I'm a pastor. Think about what we're all including there. Our position, our job, what we do. I'm a carpenter. I'm a secretary. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a contractor. I'm an IT specialist. I'm a student. I'm an electrician. Did you hear that? Don't we do that? That's what we do. I drive a truck. I'm a nurse. And we think about what we achieve and what we do, and that defines us. Like, what are you? I'm a pastor. No, first and foremost, I'm a child of God, redeemed by his blood. Jesus died for me, so I'm his kid. I should look at myself in that. So all of a sudden, you're defining yourself by what you do, so guess what you're going to be paying attention in your life to what you do. And you're going to dedicate time because that's important to you. And then that, not to say that that's not good, but we just sometimes go way too far, and we have to be careful. So we have to think about this. So we have to be thinking about having a rhythm in our lives that is not just about doing, but also about chilling out, you know, contemplating God, taking time to rest, taking time to be with him. And it's like you have to bring down your speed. Anybody have a treadmill? Okay, the next question, you know what I'm going to ask, right? Do you use the treadmill? Okay, don't answer that, right? But, all right, if you ever got, how many of you ever gotten on a treadmill? Hey, I have. Now you tell me, what do you do to get off the treadmill? You jump off. No, you turn it down, and once it stops, then you get off. Because if you try to get off of it while it's running, what happens to you? You're going to have to go see the nurse. You're going to have to go to the doctor. Tend you to the ER over the crystal take care of you. That's what I'm talking about. So something needs to slow down, right? We need to slow down in our lives because a lot of times we just, that's why we have so many accidents. But anyway, and you've seen this little drawing in your book if you've been reading, and this is from a while back. And we're talking about being with God, contemplation, and activity in our lives. And most of our lives look like that. A lot of activity and very little being with God. A little bit out of balance, don't you think? Because we're too busy to stop. We're too busy to stop. And if you look at the next one, this is what we're striving for. To have a little balance. To spend more time contemplating God and less activity. Now, you may be thinking, Pastor, there's a problem. You see, I work 10 hours a day. I can't be sitting there praising the Lord and singing and praying and dancing and, you know, and reading the Bible all day. No, you can't, but you can be contemplating God throughout your situations during the day and, you know, spending more time in the awareness of his presence. I'm not saying that you don't do it. What I'm saying is we need to pay more attention to it. You know what I mean? Because I know during the day, you always mindful of God. Because when you drop something, you say, oh my God, right? When something happens. And when you see something on the road, you see, Jesus Christ, you know? So I know you're mindful of God throughout the day as things happen. But what I'm talking about is taking time during the day as you go throughout your activity, maybe to be a little bit more aware of God's presence around you, what he's doing and what he's doing in you, with you and through you and around you. And maybe you'll take a few more times a day to stop, rest, you know, stop, drop, and roll. No, don't roll. Just stop and drop everything and sit down and listen to him, you know? So that's what I'm talking about. We need to get to the point where we're balanced, you know, that God will be making marks in our lives throughout the day, and as we listen to him and as we meditate upon him and all of these things. And it's a great thing to do. Now, let's talk about then the two things that I want to talk about today that we see in Daniel here, the daily office. And then we're going to talk about the Sabbath, which it's in the Bible. Did you know that? Okay, good. Now, if you want to picture this with me, Daniel is in Babylon. Babylon has become Persia or whatever. It doesn't matter. The idea is that Israel's been taken captive to Babylon. They've been living in captivity. And that's not the first time they're in captivity, because you remember they lived in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. So you know that Egypt definitely left a mark on the people of God. And now Babylon is trying to leave a mark on Daniel. His life is being some way... Babylon is trying to reshape the life of the Israelites. And Daniel is a big participant of this, but we're going to talk about that in a second. I want you to know, number one, the daily office. That's what we're going to talk about. It's a fixed hour prayer, not a fixed hour of prayer. Be careful. I'm not saying that you have to have a whole hour fixed on prayer, but, you know, an hour, a time. Let's just say a time, a fixed time for prayer. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. And we're going to talk about the office. The word office in the Greek, opus, means work of God. Did you know that? So when you say, I'm going to my office, are you going to be going to work? That's what we mean, right? When we say, I'm going to the office, that means I'm going to work. And really and truly, the word office means God's work. So when I go to the office, it means God's going to work on me. Wow. So that takes a little bit different connotation when you think about it. So when I talk about the daily office, I'm talking about the daily work of God in me, what he's going to do in my life. So that's where we're going to start. We're going to start about talking about our devotional or daily or whatever you call it, daily office. So, and we saw that in Daniel. Now, remember that Daniel was approximately 17 to 20 year old. He was a young fella who was taken from Israel captive over to Babylon, but he was deported, and when he was deported to Babylon, he was taken with other youngsters too, but they were taken to the court. They said, bring me some of those good-looking young men so that we can put them to work. And what they did is they brought them to the palace, they educated them and everything, and then made them and gave them some big position in the kingdom. So Daniel, we can say that he went to Babylon University, okay? That's where he was taken. And so what's the idea here? They took him in so that they can instill the thought and the thinking, the ways, the culture of Babylon, their lifestyle, and teaching them all that they knew and everything that they did, their worship and everything else. So he's learning even astrology and medicine and myth and all kinds of other things. And they even changed his name. They changed his name so that they can make him more Babylonian. So that's what's happening to Daniel. And yet, he's even though he's like a part of the cabinet of the king, you know, he's one of those like a state secretary. He's a big guy. He's got a powerful position in Babylon. But yet, you know, Babylon represents the world. Have you seen in the book of Revelation when it talks about Babylon? It talks about Babylon and it talks about how it's empowered by Satan. And it's actually a whore that is trying to take the Christians away from God. Can you think about that? That's pretty much when we talk about that, we can think about the culture of this world. This world is trying to pull us from God. And the Bible calls it just that, the great Babylon, the whore who is trying to overtake the Christians and take them so that we may be unfaithful to God. That's a pretty bad picture there. But that's what John saw in his vision, and that's what's happening. You see, when we think about it, that's why the Apostle Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, to the patterns of this world, to the things of this world, to the culture of this world, to the world, because they have a different shape than a Christian should have. It's different, and that's what's happening with Daniel. Over there, he's being shaped to be a Babylonian. So he's under a lot of pressure, if you think about it, yet we need to be careful, just like Daniel, not to be absorbed and taken in by this intoxicating thing that is this world, that it overtakes us and just simply ruins our lives. Okay, so we need to understand that we are being pulled all the time by the currents of this world and the customs of this world, and the enemy is always busy doing that. So we need to start thinking then, how do we keep ourselves away from all of this and, like Daniel, be able to serve and to do and to live and to function in this world, but not being of this world. Because that's what Jesus said. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. So Jesus even said it later, but Daniel was practicing it before even Jesus came. And Jesus did the same thing. Did you notice that Jesus always took time and they were like, oh, where did he go? Go find him. He's somewhere praying. He's somewhere chilling. Stop in ministry. He did activity, but he also rested. And I'm pretty sure he took the Sabbath and used it to rest too. So all of a sudden we find Daniel. He's on his knees and he's looking towards Jerusalem. You know how the Muslim, when they pray, they always look for a position where they're praying towards Mecca, right? Looking over. Well, the Jewish did it looking over to Jerusalem because they had been deported. They were out of their country, so they were longing to go back to where God had established them. So we need to think about this. As remember, the office, when I'm talking about the office, it means actually it's not Greek, it's Latin. I messed up opus, which is the work of God. Okay, so we're talking about time of stillness, time of quietness, time to simply just not work yourself, but allow God to work in you. And Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4 says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Have you ever heard that before? We sing it here all the time. One thing I ask and I will seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. We sing it here all the time. It's from Psalm 27, verse 4. So this is David speaking, of course, not Daniel. But what he's saying is, my job is to look, is to seek God, that I may find myself in a place where he can work on me and in me. That's my job, just seeking him in a way that he can work in my life. But the problem is that I find myself that by the time I seek God and look to be in a position for him to do something in my life, I'm too exhausted. I'm too tired. I'm done. You know, these days I've been having a hard time because we're working on this campaign. We're reading the book. We're doing the devotional and we're doing the workbook. And I'm going to school full time and I'm having to learn Philippians all the way through. Now, next week, I have to recite the first two chapters of Philippians, and I am not nowhere near having both chapters learned by heart. I can say the first chapter, and by verse 20-something, it gets a little muddy, and then I start chapter 2, and I'm done. I'm lost. I can't do it. And you know what? I find myself that I get tired and trying to memorize, and it's so difficult. But I found also that it's probably because I am trying to meditate or actually memorize the book of Philippians because it's a homework assignment, not because I'm really enjoying it. And you know what? It's funny. Last night, I went to bed, and I do it every night when I go to bed, you know, I probably do the same thing. You pray before you fall asleep, and you know, so I've been doing this at night, just reciting Philippians, you know, and I get into bed, I lay down, and I start going, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And I start doing that, and I start going and going and going and going until I go, what? And I try again, and I get confused. Well, last night, I said, you know what, David? That's enough. You need to stop, drop, and roll. And I said to myself, you know, I was self-talking and thought-stopping and doing all those techniques on myself. And I said, you're going to recite it, and you're going to do it slowly, and you're going to do it with your heart, not just your lips. Guess what? I recited the whole first chapter and got all the way to verse 5 of chapter 2. And then I couldn't fall asleep. Nah, I actually fell asleep real quick after that. But I noticed a difference because I was actually doing it from the heart. This morning, I got in the shower and I was like, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, you know. And then I said, no, slow down. And I came out of the shower and I was still halfway through. And I just kept going, oh my God. But I've noticed that if I slow down, God can work it in me. But I'm in a hurry. I just can't stop. I go too quick, you know. It's too much. So this is what I'm talking about. So my first occupation is to seek God and to seek him so that he may do the work that he wants to do in my life, not what I want from him or ask of him. Because if you find yourself like me, a lot of times my devotional time is read the Bible, and after read the Bible, start praying for all the things that you can remember that people ask you to pray for. Pray for your family. Pray for your job. Pray that you will not fall. Pray this and that. Let's go. That's the goal. But I'm talking about making a pause and stopping completely. And this doesn't stop at Daniel. Now let's look at some of the scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 164, it says, seven times a day I praise you. Seven times a day I praise you. Oh, you say, this is easy. All I got to do is praise the Lord seven times throughout the day. No, I think David meant a little bit more than that. Check it out. It is good to praise the Lord, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. You know, all of a sudden you start thinking about it and it starts taking a little better shape here. That means that David dedicates some time in the morning to God and in the evenings, or I'm sorry, at night too. And then he says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out to you in distress and he hears my voice. You see that? So we're talking about prayer. So we see here a little pattern that is simple. David prays multiple times a day. He stops to pray and seek God. So it's not just Daniel, it's also David. So it's also should be you and me. And you know what? As we look at the Bible, we can see also that Jesus was praying constantly. And so many theologians who study this real, real deep in the story, in history and everything, know that Jesus visited the synagogue all the time. Jesus practiced the Sabbath. Jesus prayed. Jesus did all of these things. And this is something that even after the church started in the book of Acts, for the first 300 years or so, prayer, solitude, and silence became big disciplines. But we have kind of lost that because we have too much information coming at us too fast. And we want to process it because we don't want to miss a single thing, right? So we're in Google all day. So we think about the Psalms, prayers. Seek them. Use the Psalms. Get closer to God. Establish your own rhythm. Do something. Let it not just be in the morning when you take off or when you're exhausted in bed and go like, oh my God, thank you for this day. And that's it, you know. Taking actual time to stop. Maybe during the day. You know, it's not just about praying before the meal. You know, sometimes we, even at the meal, if we get too spiritual, always somebody will be like, what? Did you have to pray that long? Man, the food getting cold. Did you have to remember the missionaries in Africa all of a sudden while we're trying to get to the salad, you know? I know. So that's not the point either, you know, that you use the meal just for a moment. Yeah, do it if you, I mean, wholeheartedly. But stop. I'm talking about stopping in our lives and picking a time and saying, this is a time for me to have communion and to be in silence. This is something that we struggle with, and we've said it so many times before. We struggle with being quiet. We struggle with being silent before God. And we get distracted so easily. And it's so difficult to simply be quiet. Now, Soren Kierkegaard, this is a guy who was a theologian in the 19th century. He said before he died in his diary, if I could only prescribe one remedy for all the problems in the world, would be silence. Because without silence, then the word of God is not proclaimed. You can't hear it. There's too much noise. So I prescribe silence. And this is in the 19th century. Can you imagine that? We got so much more noise nowadays. Silence is a discipline that we need to learn, that we need to practice, that we need to get better at. So I want you to do that. I want you to do that with me as we go through this campaign. Keep practicing. I don't know if you are, but I hope you are enjoying those daily devotionals, those really short golden nuggets, and not just enjoying those, but also enjoying the silence, the time of silence. Practicing that, it's just been transforming, I hope. You see, but we need to be careful, because it's not, distractions are going to be everywhere, and they're going to be there all the time. Even some of the monks that have retreated and said, you know what, we got to get away from all the hustle and bustle, and we got to get away, and they go live in a cavern, in a cave, and they become hermits, and they stay out there. Even they and their diaries can testify that distractions plague them also, because they start thinking about what they do and thinking, well, we have to stay busy out here. And they start thinking about, you know, other stuff, and they start still fantasizing about the food that they could have because they're always fasting, or even thoughts of going back to the world and getting connected back up with family and getting connected in so many ways. So it's still, there's a distraction there, but we need to be starting to practice this. And what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes for a second. Let's think about this for a second. Okay, I want you to close your eyes. Just imagine that it's midday and you decide, you know what, I'm going to take some time for God and I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be silent. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to turn off my computer. I'm going to turn off my cell phone to be with God. And you sit there in silence. You have nothing better to do but right now, these 10 minutes to be with God. You close the doors. You say, these minutes are going to be precious. I'm going to be silent. I'm going to be there for a few minutes. I'm going to enjoy this. And then all of a sudden, hell interrupts. And your mind starts getting all these thoughts. Did I turn off the stove? What was I doing on my computer? Did I save it? Oh my God, I'm not sure if I saved it. My son didn't call me back. I did call him, right? Yes, I did. I called him twice. Did I take that book back to the library? Oh my God, what am I thinking? No, I need to stop this. I need to be silent. Is there a game tonight? Are the Saints playing? Oh my Lord, all this stuff with Trump. What's going on in this country? No, I have to get away from that. Oh Lord, please help me. I got to take the car to the shop. I forgot about that too. My wife's going to kill me. Is my phone off? You know, it hasn't rung all day. I think I need to go back to doing the laundry is what I need to do. Well, anyway, I'm with God, so I need to be quiet. I need to be still. Am I doing this right? Yeah, I think so. No, it's not. It doesn't seem real. Maybe a little cup of coffee I should have grabbed to do this. No, maybe I should have had the coffee before I did this because I'm trying to fall asleep here. Am I really falling asleep? Oh, my God, my stomach is churning. I think I'm hungry. That's what it is. Oh, no, my dad died of cancer. I think I got to go to the doctor. You see what I'm talking about? You can open your eyes now. Maybe you didn't have these exact thoughts, but that's what happens when you try. And you have to keep doing it. You have to keep trying, because if you don't, then we're never going to do it. Oh, wait a second. I haven't been on Facebook for the last 3 minutes. That's bad. You get the idea of what I'm talking about, right? So we need to learn not to worry so much. We need to learn not to, you know. Well, actually, you know what? you know, I've heard this so many times, and I always forget. But worrying is not a bad thing. You know, you're not supposed to worry. But when you think of meditating in the Word of God, it's like worrying. If you know how to worry, you can meditate on the word. Worrying is repeating stuff in your mind. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, you can go to the Word of God and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and meditate upon it. It's just like worrying. This is pretty much the same skill, and it'll do you some benefit. But the idea is to be lowering down your intensity, taking it easy, And if you have noticed, I've kind of slowed down today as I'm speaking, and I've done that on purpose. Not so that you could fall asleep. So please don't, all right? But we need to take away all those distractions. We need to start focusing on God and remember what God is doing every day and what he wants to do. And that's what we need to do. So the last thing we need to do is close the day with the Lord, of course. So the daily office, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need to do. The idea is that you discover how to establish that rhythm in your life. For some people, it may look different than you. So don't be looking at each other and thinking this is the way you do it. Each one should do it however they feel that it's going to be beneficial to them. But really and truly, if we don't do this kind of stuff, we're going to stay on the surface of our iceberg and never go down deep. But also, let's talk about the Sabbath. Let's get going because I think I'm going too slow now. All right? So that's what we want to do. We want to keep the Sabbath. What does that mean? It means stopping for a 24-hour period each week. How many of you are able to do that? Stopping for 24 hours in a week and saying, today I do nothing. Not going to be busy, not going to be busy, not going to be busy. Some of you may be like, I can do that? Is that allowed? Oh my God, I didn't know. I thought we had to be busy all the time. Some of you can't stay still, even if they tie you down. And we're talking about taking a day to stop. This is a radical thing. And, you know, I want you to think of this because this is important. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? Well, maybe you know them. Maybe you remember most of them, or maybe you can say them in your own words. You know what is the longest commandment of the ten? You shall rest. Take the Sabbath. That is the longest. I'm going to show you. Look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourselves an idol. I remember the movie. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then, check this out. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You know what that is? A commandment from God. And some of us are really disobedient, aren't we? Now be brave. How many of you have been obeying this? How many of you have been disobedient? I know. Guilty. We need to start learning. Oh, I forgot there's others, right? Honor your mother and your father. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not give false witness, shall not covet. You see how short, think, quick. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Ow! But the Sabbath, I go back because I want to show them something here that it was striking to me as I read it. Where is the emphasis here the whole time? There's 7 days a week. And God places emphasis on one. The Sabbath, keeping it holy. Then he says, okay, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day, the Sabbath, the Lord is the Lord our God. In it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all of them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You see, all the emphasis here is not on be busy, do something, don't be lazy. It's actually stop and rest. Stop and rest, my dear child. In other words, huh? And he rested. God rested. I don't need no rest. That's God's problem if he wanted to rest. I don't need to rest. What are we doing next? Wow, it's amazing. I don't know if I can preach on this or say anything else. This is pretty amazing, you know. God ordains. God commands. God said, you will do this. Oh, but Lord, I mean, Pastor, this is from the Old Testament. Right? So we don't have to worry about it. Yeah, we don't have to worry about coveting either. We don't have to worry about making idols for ourselves. We don't have to worry about misusing the name of the Lord and thing, right? How come we want to say that all of the other 9 commandments, whoa, but the number 4, eh? We have to think about this. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 says that the day of rest or the Sabbath was made for men and not men for the Sabbath. You are more importante. You know what that means? Rest. God invented the idea. Check it out. God came up with the idea for rest, not because he was tired, because he knew you would be tired. That's his idea, that you would rest. The thing is that God is so awesome that he does a lot of example teaching, right? He said, you need rest. I don't. But I'm going to take some to show you, give you the example. So that's the thing. Then the Sabbath is a blessing because we were made in the image of God. And the image of God showed us that you shall work, but also you need to stop and rest. And you and I need to do the same thing. We need to establish a rhythm of pausing and resting. This is a gift from God. And we were called to imitate him as he did. So we have to deliberately take some time and say, you know what? This is my time to rest. This is my time to simply maybe listen to some worship. This is my day to simply lay around. Who cares if the grass grows or it doesn't? It's got weeds or not. Who cares? That's why you go to my yard and you don't see it like it used to. I used to cut it all the time. Eh, if it gets cut, it gets cut. If not, then whatever. You know, I've started to think about ways that I can rest a little bit. And trust me, I'm going to get some rest here in a couple of months. You'll see. I'm going to love it, and you're going to like it too. So we need to take care of ourselves, okay? That's part of taking care of ourselves. But our culture teaches us that we cannot stop. We have to go. We have to be, everything needs to be open. I've always laughed at this concept, but it used to be, and I always mention this. Remember when the days when on Sunday you couldn't find anything open? Everything was closed on Sunday. So you had to make sure on Saturday you had everything you needed for Sunday. Well, the Christians were always like, well, we shouldn't open on Sundays. Sundays is the day of the Lord. People should spend it with the Lord. But when we get out of here, we like to go to the restaurant and see the servants there. We like to see the buffet line open and the chef cooking. Oh, he's got to work on Sunday because I got to rest and eat for the Lord. So, goodness gracious. So we've grown accustomed to that. We bend the rules however we want to. Now I want you to know, this is something normal. Because when you think about it, look at Israel. When they left Egypt, what did they want to do? They wanted to still do the same thing they were doing in Egypt. They wanted to be like Egypt. And the same thing happens with us in this world. Since the world works 7 days a week and it's open 7 days a week, why not take advantage of it 7 days a week and do whatever I need to do in 7 days a week? Oh, but God is saying, you know what? I'm ordering you. I'm mandating you. I'm telling you, you have to rest. And there are 4 qualities that we need to be looking for when we decide to rest, okay? Let's talk about those real quick because I think we need to get out of here, right? Some other people are coming in this way. But you need to stop. You need to stop. Now, first of all, we need to stop and take a day off. Simple. We need to simply stop. Number 2, we need to rest. We need to rest. You see, you have to be careful not just to say, well, okay, I'm not going to work on Saturdays, or I'm not going to work this day, but then you're going to do a bunch of work everywhere else or do something else. You have to be careful with that, right? So you have to rest. Even when you look at the people of God, they had to prepare the day before the day of rest. They had to prepare. They had to have everything ready so that they wouldn't have to do anything. And the way the Jewish people do it sometimes, they take it literally to the point in some Jewish households, it is prohibited to turn the light switch on because that's work. So if you want lights on Saturday, then you need to turn them on Friday and keep them all on if that's what you want. I mean, it's amazing, right? I mean, I don't want you to go home and say, the pastor said we need to keep the lights on now. Don't touch the switch because that's too much work, right? But we just need to be resting from our multitasking and so much stuff that we do, right? And it's simply taking time off and saying, God, I want to enjoy this time. No distractions, no nothing. Just me and you and me. Because you know Sabbath was made for you. For your enjoyment, for your benefit, for your rest. Well, I'm taking the Sabbath, so I'm going to church and I'm going to go paint. That's not what God wants. Stay still, my friend, right? So you just have to kind of get to the point where you can do that. Also, I know that you have limitations just like me, and you are not God. And a lot of things that you have decided already in life may not be able to change that quickly, but you need to start thinking of ways of you can change things. Number three, we need to delight. This has got to be a time, it's not just God wants me to stop. I can't do anything today. I wish I could go do something, but I can't. Because this is boring. I got to be moving, right? No. There's something that you have to delight in. Maybe even something fun. You see, a lot of times Christians don't do nothing fun because it's a sin. Think about that. You see, do something for yourself, delight, and rest, okay? So let's do that. Now, number four, we have to contemplate, or contemplation, which means, of course, that we're talking about spending time with God and just simply enjoying His presence, being aware of His presence throughout our day, but not to make it that your rest becomes something of a burden to you. That's not what it's all about, okay? So you need to start trying to stop, but you got to do it slowly. Like I said, you don't get off the treadmill while it's still running. It's the same thing in our lives. Maybe for you to try to do this and take one day off a week may be like stopping a locomotive or a train, that you need to do it very slowly until you get it to stop, right? And that happens to a lot of us, so just be careful. But you have to take the initiative to take a pause and start doing it. All right? And the idea is that you do it faithfully and wholeheartedly. So, let me give you four things before we go. There are guidelines if you want to start practicing the silence and solitude. Number one, be attentive and open. Be attentive and open. Number two, get comfortable. Be relaxed. Be still. Take it easy, my friend. Just chill. Slow down. But be attentive. Be open to whatever God wants to say. Get comfortable. Take some deep breath, you know, before you get into the zone, man. Just, you know, do that. Just be still. And then you just close your eyes and just allow God to say something to you. Why don't we do that for a minute or two right now? I want you to think about that and just close your eyes. Be attentive, be open. Whatever God wants to say.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.